Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Managing Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay, Ontario. And with us today, we have all-around awesome guy, Battle Rap Chris. Welcome. That's I know your old name and your old alias, but tell us a bit about yourself and what you're up to now.
Sure. So, yeah, formerly known as Battle Rap Chris, and that's a whole other story.
Which feels like we're joking, but...
Yeah. Is this a Puff Daddy situation? Like, no, you get offended when Diddy, we call you?
Yeah, it's Diddy now, actually.
You're like the world's authority on, like, battle raps.
There was a time.
At some point. Way more than us.
The distant past, yeah. Things move quickly in battle rap, and you're sort of, you're either fully in the culture or not fully in the culture. And right now I'm, you know, a passive observer who enjoys battle rap, but... as for being an analyst or a commentator, you have to know everything all the time and follow every league and every scandal and every battle rapper. And I don't have the time to do that anymore. But there was a time that I was, you know, flying to every major event in the United States. I was going to LA, I was going to New York, I was going to Atlanta regularly. Toronto has a big, big scene, and that's how I got into it in the first place. But I flew to England. I was going kind of globally as well.
Tell us a bit about the battle rap scene in Fenland Falls.
Right. So it's non-existent. There is one guy from Lindsay.
Oh, really?
Who was a King of the Dot battle rapper from, more than 10 years ago or around 10 years ago, named Jay Walker. And I mentioned Lindsay when I was at a King of the Dot event, and they said, oh, Jay Walker's from there. I went, oh, yeah, that guy. So, anyhow, Jay Walker, if you're listening, how are you? But, yes, there's not a vibrant battle scene, anywhere really outside of Toronto.
That's funny. Sometimes at the gym, because we all go to Carbon Heights, I'll make a reference to someone else, but, like, we should battle rap about it, and Chris can cover it. And, like, no one knows what I'm talking about. But I know I'm hilarious.
Battling's definitely... made its way into the mainstream. I think you'd find a lot of sitcoms have a battle rap episode or something like that where, you know, someone will break into what it is. I mean, it was also 8 Mile 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
I was going to say, was it Eminem, 8 Mile, that made it popular mainstream?
Yeah, definitely there was that, like, push into... Also, you could argue that Eminem and 8 Mile made the push to, like, pre-written battles, because before that it was just a freestyle scene, and it was just coming up with whatever insults you could on the fly, and if you ever even gave the notion that you had written something ahead of time, the whole crowd would, you know, tisk you and do the, like, handwriting symbol. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pre-planned. But with the battles and 8 Mile being so well... orchestrated to tell a narrative, that was, I think, what pushed the scene into realizing, oh, wait, if we pre-wrote these things and had time to prepare, you know, smart, interesting, clever attacks on our opponents, then the quality of the verses would just, you know, be huge. Just be a ton better than "your shoes are dumb," you know.
Yeah. This is awesome. I know it's like an old life, but it's just really cool to hear some, like, insight from an expert.
So I was the editor-in-chief of BattleRap.com, which is an LA-based publication that I saw pop up after a couple years of running my own blog out of Toronto called TO Battle Blog. And I got to know the scene, I got to know the people. Because Toronto was really vibrant, a lot of people from around the world were coming to Toronto to battle Canada's best MCs. And when BattleRap.com popped up, I was visiting LA because Toronto also had a league, like a division of the league in Los Angeles at the time. So I was going out there to cover stuff. And BattleRap.com was in the building, so I went and introduced myself. And within about 2 months, I was their editor-in-chief, and they were part of a much bigger legacy website called Hip Hop DX, which most, you know, blog era hip hop fans will know. And I had a lot of people say, oh, Hip Hop DX, I used to go to that site all the time. And I was like, oh yeah, well, they're still around. So I did that. And, but I'd been out of the scene for many, many years. I'd gotten another job. BattleRap.com closed in about 2017. So from about 2016 to 2018, I'd moved to be the managing editor at Hip Hop DX. So they took me from their smaller site and put me in a managerial role on the bigger site, which was good, but it was less thrilling for me to be, you know, just at my desk writing stories about whatever Kanye West had done that day, you know, his controversies.
That's what you dream of getting to and reaching when you're in that industry, right? Like getting a great desk job, right? Talking about battle rap.
Right. So it was good. But then my son was born and it was like, okay, well now I should not be traveling all the time. And did that. But I was at an event because Toronto continues to put on major events and the battle scene is still thriving. And there's your plug. Yeah, you can hit me after.
Battle rap, thriving. Yeah. Thrive, battle rap. Yeah. Night.
Thrive on Kent.com. Yeah.
So, I went to an event recently, like sort of in the last year, and was expecting everyone. It's like, oh, do people know who I am? And I ended up doing some interviews for the league. Mm. And everyone, you know, everywhere I walked, all the fans, hey, Battle Rap Chris. And I had sort of gone at the beginning, been like, oh, yeah, I'm the guy who used to be Battle Rap Chris. And then by the end, I was like, oh, I'm forever going to be Battle Rap Chris, at least in this culture. But yes, that was former Chris.
Dwayne Johnson's still the Rock, man.
Right. Yeah, no matter how hard he tries. Yeah. But he's no longer Rocky
Balboa?
Maiveo? What's his last name? I forget now. He had, I mean, before The Rock, he was somebody else.
Too. Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. Can we do a battle rap event here? Can you make that happen with us?
No. You guys could battle each other.
There's no chance. I'm not that smart. I'm not smart enough to be able to be like on my toes that way.
Yeah, you'd just freeze.
I would freeze. I would absolutely freeze. I would love to be a part of it and watch it.
Sure.
I would love to host.
You'd be the host. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, all you got to do is put out an ad and say who wants to be part of our inaugural Battle Rap Thrive Business League, and then let them go at it.
What's your appearance fee for something like that?
Oh, I don't know. $15,000.
So what are you up to nowadays?
So these days I'm living in the Kawartha Lakes region. It's been almost 3 years since we moved up here.
It's like a Hallmark movie where, you know, the opening scene, you're like at the desk of your media job. And it's like, I need this story about Kanye. And then you end up out in the wilderness.
Right. Yeah. Right, lost, cold.
Yeah.
So we moved out here sort of mid-pandemic, and I'd been living in Toronto with my wife and our
friend of the show.
Friend of the show, yes. And our kid. So it was sort of like, okay, we want a little bit more space. We've been in the West End of Toronto for 10, 12 years. Our priorities have changed from wanting to be close to restaurants and hip-hop bars and hip hop to being more interested in being
the furthest away from hip hop as possible.
Or restaurants and bars. I mean, we lived on near Ossington. Oh, yeah. So the strip was, you know, always busy with people, and it was nice to come here where it's never busy with people. But it's a lot quieter and the pace is slower, and you know, you get to know people on a, like, you just get to know your neighbors, I think, in a better capacity, which is something that we had in Toronto during the pandemic, which we really enjoyed, just getting to know other parents in the vicinity who are at the park every day.
Yeah.
So I feel like that sort of neighborhoodliness carries through to small towns like this one.
And how did you get into Selected Threads?
So Selected Threads is I'm a clothing reseller. So I buy low and sell for as high as I can get. And I am usually focusing on vintage and luxury clothing. So I got into it because I had lots of clothes from Toronto that I was into shopping, and we were near Queen West, we were near Ossington, so I had a lot of clothes, and I'd worked in marketing, I'd worked in journalism, I'd worked as an editor for many years in Toronto offices. So, you know, when you walk home, you pop into a store, and you've got a new sweater, and you've got a new pair of pants, and they're having a deal, so you get six dress shirts, and then you have too much stuff. And I had sort of consigned stuff in Toronto. I, you know, bought low and sold for as much as I could get out of it. But when we moved out here, I had a lot of clothes that I just didn't wear anymore, a lot of, like, business downtown clothes. And I Googled, how do you sell clothes online? And Poshmark came up, and I sold a good amount of dress shirts and other, you know, clothes that didn't fit me or that I didn't like or whatever I could post up there. And within a few months, I realized, like, oh, this is the thing. People are buying the clothes from me. And then it became like, well, I'm at the thrift store. Ooh, this is worth something. I know I could sell this. And I sold a lot of men's clothing, a lot of dress shirts, because that's what I knew. And when you found something good, you'd post it and it would sell. And then I realized that the market for men's clothing was just a small fraction compared to women's clothing. So I started learning about women's clothing and what's good and what's great and what's expensive, but what holds value and all those things. And I'm still, you know, learning about all of it every day now. And yeah, so I just kept posting and people kept buying. And when we had come here, I'd been laid off during the pandemic from, I was working in the cannabis industry as a writer, editor, manager for not a company that sold cannabis, but that a company that sold education and marketing and sponsored content. So I had, you know, a good job for a few years after the battle rap stuff. And then when the pandemic happened, I didn't have a job, but we needed someone to be at home. And my wife had just gone back to work after, you know, being home with Max for maternity leave. So we kind of came out here and I said, well, I'll find a job once we get settled and once the pandemic kind of calms down a little bit. And I was looking into marketing jobs and looking into writing and mid-level, you know, editorial positions and taking all these interviews and you know, for companies that I'd never heard of 3 days before. And then I'd be in the interview being like, I'm very passionate about your AI spreadsheet software. It's fascinating. And I would love to write about it every day for the rest of my life. And then didn't get those jobs. And after a few of those interviews, I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. So I was like, I think I'm going to go for it with the clothes, because that had also just been like a side hustle as I was getting my life back sorted. And I just pushed really hard on the clothing and it went well. And then that was about a year ago, they launched live shows on the Poshmark app. So now it's live auctions, it's hosting, it's live streaming. And that's all skills that I had from the battle rap time when I was doing in-person interviews and podcasting. And so it was just like everything that I had learned in my career as a journalist and as a marketer, as a content marketer, came together for selling clothes.
If you took that job, Hip Hop Chris would have been dead forever. Battle Rap Chris lives on. It was battle rap, cannabis, fashion. This all makes sense.
Right?
You can't let that die. You have to keep it going.
And you call me AI Spreadsheet Chris.
It's not like the same thing. Yeah. So I've been wondering about this Posh Market.
Poshmark.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of the segments on our podcast are Matt doesn't know anything.
Okay.
So, like, I'm fascinated by, I was wondering what your, like, affiliation was, because I've seen you on Instagram.
Right.
And so, like, you're not working for Poshmark. Like, what is that versus Selected Threads?
So I'm a independent businessman who uses Poshmark as a platform to sell my clothes. So there's lots of platforms
like
out
Kijiji
there.
Like Kijiji specifically for, like, high-end clothes, I think.
All kinds of clothes. Yeah, there's different platforms that are specific for luxury brands. There's something called The Real Real. There's something called Vestiaire Collectif. There's Grailed, which is more like streetwear oriented.
I love how you're like analyzing all these just like the battle rappers. Sure, yeah. It's like that skill of like I can dive into the culture and know all the drama.
It's big, yeah. Yeah. And then there's Etsy for vintage stuff. So there's all these different marketplaces. There's even Facebook Marketplace or eBay, which are the more, you know, traditional ones. And Poshmark just worked for me because it was clean and easy. Mm-hmm. They take a 20% cut from anything that I sell. But they advertise in a capacity that when I say I have stuff on Poshmark, people go, oh, I saw that ad on my TV show, you know, wherever they have heard about it. So there's that. And then because I'm a fairly prolific and like easy to get along with host, I've done some work for Poshmark where they had an event in Toronto and they did a live show and I was the live show host where they had, you know, whatever, 50 different people there who would come on screen with me for 2 minutes and say, hey, I'm selling this one item. So you do these like shared shows.
Like the Shopping Channel.
Exactly like the Shopping Channel, yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of how I've worked, you know, in connection with Poshmark. So I do have perhaps a closer relationship with some of the like employees of Poshmark compared to someone who's never been to a show or been to does live shows, that kind of thing.
Cool. Did you think that this was going to be like a career? Does it feel like that yet?
It's hard to say because looking back, you know, I've done so many different things for so many chunks of time.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, okay, I was doing battle rap for 2 years. Before that, I did the blog and had worked as a news editor at MSN. So I was working 2 years at MSN, 2 years at Microsoft's like international editorial team, 2 years in battle rap, 2 years at Hip Hop DX, 2 years in the cannabis industry, 2 years as a COVID dad, you know,
Yeah,
which was not a bad gig. And then it's been about sort of two and a half years that I've been doing this as my focus. Mm-hmm. So it's that question of, okay, well, who knows what opportunities are going to present themselves in 2 years from now. And I maybe will, who knows?
Chances you will be lawn cutting, Chris?
Is there good money in?
Friend of the show might have commented on your lawn cutting interested abilities.
Right. It's unlikely. Yeah.
But that's, that's really cool. And now my head's like spinning with like the things you could host and do. And there's that skill of being like, you know, the old timey pitch man, which I don't say as an insult. Like, that's a skill that, like, at the end of the day, a lot of marketing is pitching like that. It's why, like, the Shopping Channel works or the Slap Chop guy. Right. Everyone's like knows about it, but it works.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. Is you have so many, I mean, influencers. That's what they're doing. Is that they become a brand unto themselves. And then a brand that is interested in selling something says, well, we'll give you $500 at a free Slap Chop if you promote it on your Instagram. And then they do that. So I've been hesitant to move into like more influencer territory just because I feel like I'm not interested in being aggressively online. The
way you're not like a content, like, because a lot of them, it's like, follow me for my whole life. And then, oh, now I'm using this vacuum.
Right.
And you're very specific to, you know, the clothing in those shows.
Right.
How did you get into the actual fashion side so much? Of like, yeah, you had clothes you wanted to sell, but has that like changed how you're dressing, all that kind of stuff? And now like, I wanted to save my compliment of that sweater for the podcast. As soon as you walked in, I'm like, I want to compliment it, but I'm going to wait. That's a beautiful, unique sweater.
Yeah.
But also, like, in a way, it's not outrageous. It should be, but you pull it off and it makes total sense.
Thank you.
And I see you and I'm like, yeah, that's what you would be wearing. And I think I've always had an issue with, like, clothing like that on me because like I think I would look ridiculous.
You can try it on if you want.
Thank you.
It's
so it's a picture of it.
Yeah.
All the gram.
So just to illustrate, it's a Coogee sweater. So Coogee made famous, I think, by the Notorious B.I.G. who wore sweaters like this of this brand. And this, so Coogee style has become very, very popular in the last few years, but this is a Coogee branded sweater, which I got. I picked it up from, I don't know the pronunciation, but it's a thrift store, like curated vintage store in Port Perry called Attawegamig. And I'd seen them post the sweater on their Instagram, and I went, maybe I'll go check it out. And they said, it's in the shop today. I said, okay, maybe I'll go check it out. And we drove about an hour with me, Nikki, and Max. And I said, don't let me buy that sweater. And Nikki said, okay. And then we got there and I tried it on and I was like, I'm going to buy this sweater. So, but yeah, this, I found a lot of pieces like this that are like inspired by the, because it's an Australian brand that's been doing it for 40, 50 years. And in Canada, you can get Tundra sweaters. There's Tasani sweaters. Like, there's a bunch of different brands that do this. But when I saw this in front of me and it fit, and I was like, oh, okay, well. Nikki took Max out to go to the bathroom, and I was like, she came back, and she, like, felt the bag that had been empty before she left, and there was a sweater.
Okay. How do you decide you're going to keep that versus sell it?
So I keep things until I don't want to keep them anymore, and then I'll sell it. And this is something that I feel very strongly about as a reseller. This is like the grail. This is the
it's kind of precious.
Thing. Yeah.
Everyone, every collector has like, you know, show me your precious, right. And they know exactly what that means.
Right. So there's sort of those grails that you're looking for. And this is also a bit of like, it's sort of a flex because every reseller wants a Coogee. Everybody's chasing after Coogees. And
battle rap Chris.
Right, well. Got it. Yeah, he got it. So, but yeah, it's sort of like, now that I have this in my personal closet, I'll probably take a sweater out that I haven't worn in a while and sell it in a show and move those on. So I have a rotating cast of clothing that once I've worn it, you know, especially like something that's as vibrant as this, I can't wear it every day because you're like, oh, I remember that sweater. You wore it every time I saw you. And it's like, okay, I got to switch things up a little bit.
I feel special that you wore it today.
Oh, yeah. I got all dressed up.
What's a sweater like that cost, in all seriousness?
So,
that you bought it for?
So, well, I mean, if you can find it in a thrift store, you might get it for $10.
Sure.
You know, if you find the right grail used.
Someone who doesn't understand what it is.
Yeah, you know, you go to a store and there it is. So I got a nice discount because I brought some perishable or non-perishable goods for their clothing or for their food drive. So I paid about $225 for it and knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
But if you go to Poshmark right now, the Coogee branded sweaters, there are a few that are over $1,000 that are on there. And everyone's looking at them saying, no, we will not be paying that. But I'd say typically $300 to $400 would be about how much they would be posted for. But the nice thing about with my business model with the auction, if I want to sell this, I could say, okay, we're starting it at $300.
Sure.
And if you want it, because some people really, really want it. And if two people really, really want it and their budget is, you know, big enough, then we'll see who will pay the most for it. So that's the nice thing about this current job is, or this current business model, is that I can say, here's what I think this shirt, this sweater, this jacket is worth at its very lowest, you know, very lowest value. And then you hope that your audience will consider that to them it's worth more and that it'll bid up. And sometimes you sell things that you think are expensive for low because only one person wants it. And sometimes you think that a sweater with holes in it that you're like, oh, whatever, $10. And then it goes for $70 because two people are like, I love the color. Mm. And then you're there being like, there's holes in it. Stop. It's not worth that much. And they're like, I just had to have it. And, you know, it reminds me of my grandmother.
It looks cool. Like,
okay, yeah. Sure.
So I guess you don't really know where this goes from here then.
That's right. I think with it being near the end of 2023, there's a lot of thoughts of, okay, well, what's the business plan for 2024? Because for me, the business plan was always, what job can make me not the most amount of money, but the most amount of money for the least amount of work and the least amount of stress? So my thoughts on, okay, how busy do I want to be right now is based purely on how do I feel. Yeah. So if I'm feeling stressed, I'll take a few days off.
Yeah.
You know, I won't do a show that week. Mm-hmm. I will do something else. Or if I'm feeling socialed out, then I will just list some things quietly. I'll put a movie on and just do that. So for 2024, it's this question of, okay, well, maybe I should try to see how much money I can make. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of just being how happy am I and how stress-free am I, it could be, well, let's see if we push really hard, if we work hard for 3 weeks a month and take a week off, how many items can I list? How many shows can I do? How many platforms can I expand to? Hmm. You know, how can I get into the state? Because right now I just sell to Canada. So can I get all my clothes from Poshmark Canada into Poshmark US and be making, you know, the exchange rate? So it's $1.36, I think, today. Mm-hmm. So I can sell things cheaper, but still, in the end, make more money if I'm selling to a US audience. So there's all those questions of, okay, well, I've got a good stasis. I don't work more than I want to. My stress levels are based on, like, how many stains I find on a sweater after I've already bought it. You know, like, those things are so minimal that I'm able to focus on my health. I can get to the gym. I can spend time with my family. I can be there picking my son up from the end of the driveway as he gets off the bus. And that, to me, has been really important for the last year, especially coming off of, what, 2.5 years of pandemic life, being like, I don't have to do anything other than keep us alive and COVID-free, which, you know, brings its own stress to it. But, so it's sort of like, I don't know, do I want to forego the comfortable and balanced life that I have in an effort to expand my bottom line, my financial resources?
Yeah, get rich or die trying, 2024.
Right.
But it's really cool that you are thinking this way, because I think that I talk to a lot of business owners that are the opposite. And they've got into business to do things that the way they want to do it, which we all have, but then they feel compelled or a responsibility to die trying. Mm-hmm. And you kind of you understand that you're happy. I'm able to maintain my stress or manage my stress, maintain my family life. And it's cool to see or talk to people that are like-minded, like me too, where it's like, no, this is good. Let's just continue doing this.
Right.
We'll ramp it up if we have to. We don't need to be dying trying type of things.
So. Right. Yeah. Especially coming from a world of media where you're just always working, and working in hip hop where it's like, Friday night, I can finally relax. And then some tragedy happens in the hip-hop world, and you're like, okay, all boots on the ground. Yeah. Like, we've got to write an obituary for someone who was important to the culture, and that's a crucial piece of information. Or there's some scandal or some, you know, something. And we were covering breaking news. So it was constant work. And then also my team was, for the most part, on the West Coast. So I would finish at 6 p.m., and it's 3 p.m. there, so when it's the end of the day and they're like, oh, I just need one more thing, it's 9 o'clock for me, and I'm still working. You know, I'm still checking a story or whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
So it's nice to not have that. It's nice to be able to come in here on a Friday and just have a nice, pleasant chat and eat some cheeses and meats.
Yeah, we both were like, well, we got to be out here at 3. We want to go pick our kids up, and that's what we do. It's right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to be able to stick with that and do that. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of what we're here to do, and what the podcast is about. And it's like, you know, to kind of wrap it up, it's that thriving region in Canada for small business. And there's different ways to create small businesses that fit your lifestyle. So we're not the Hustle Bro podcast. We're the Kawartha Small Business podcast, right?
Something that you had said to me recently about how all the Hustle Bros realize that all their audience is burning out. So now the Hustle Bros are turning into
most hardcore relaxers, right? And recoverers ever. It's like the 5:30 in the morning, a camera crew's coming to wake my kids and wife up while they watch me, like, I take 10 ice baths to get the right angles, right? Because I'm the most extreme recovery guy.
Extreme Recovery is the new hustle.
It is. Now you're going to start seeing that everywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. So, yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us. Us. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Where can the people find you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is selected.threads. That's a good window into what I'm doing on any daily period. And then Poshmark Selected Threads. So if you just search Poshmark Selected Threads, you'll find my closet. You'll be able to sort to see what is available that day, that week. And that's probably, or just walk down the street in Lindsay and I'll be there doing something. Find me in a thrift store at a in a community near you in the Kawartha Lakes.
That's awesome.
Awesome. All right. If you'd like to be on the show, you can do that. Reach out to us at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.